meet our needs. But Paul said here in verse 6, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul talks about people perverting the gospel. That trouble you and would pervert the gospel. In our last message, we've seen clearly that the gospel is concerning a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 4, speaking of Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us, save us from this present evil world. You see, beloved, that's the message, that's the gospel. It concerns a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ crucified, gave himself for our sins. This shows us that we're neither able to satisfy for our own sins, and we certainly don't have dominion over them and don't have power over them. And that's why Christ came and gave himself for our sins. Had he not done that, we'd still yet be in our sins. And that would be in a horrible, horrible place to be. Once you ever know Christ and know what sin is, the last thing you want to be found is in your sins. You want to be found in Christ. And then this gospel concerning Christ was according to the will of God. This wasn't an afterthought. This wasn't after Adam fell that God decided, well, I better do something here real quick. Things as Adam's made a mess out of something, I better get down there and do something. And then after the Jews rejected Christ, I better go and try something else. No, no. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had an elect people, a chosen people, in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Christ came and gave himself for our sins according to the will and purpose of God before the foundation of the world. It was God's will that gave us Christ. It was God's will that made him an offering for us. It was God's will that called him to be a sacrifice for our sins. This is God's way of saving sinners. And then we saw also there in verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, that everything that God does, he does first and foremost for his own glory. And that should be our motive in what we do for the glory of God. We preach the gospel for the glory of God. We hopefully live for the glory of God. We hopefully, our lives manifest the glory of God. We certainly want our message, our lives, everything about us, all we say, we want it to bring glory to God. And because God done everything in this world to the praise and the glory of His grace, which He give us in Christ. And then He goes on to say, and He uses some awful strong language here. Awful strong language that the apostle uses here. And he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now I want you to notice this. He doesn't call them apostates. He still regards these people as believers. If he had considered them apostates, he would have never wrote this letter to them. He had never addressed the great error that they were confronted with. He doesn't call, I marvel that you're so removed. They were in the grace of Christ, called into the grace of Christ. There's some there that were troubling them. He doesn't call them apostates. He considers them believers. You know, he told the Jews, you despise and wonders. You don't want the gospel. I'll just leave you to perish in your sins. And I'll turn to the Gentiles. And he did. And he never preached another gospel to a bunch of Jews. There in Acts 28. You remember there? He said, you don't want it? Go ahead. But oh my, he turned to the Gentiles. He considers them believers. And that's why he's so burdened, you know. He founded these churches. He founded these churches. He went to all these places. He knew these people. He had preached the gospel to these people. Christ had been set forth before them, crucified. Years of labor he went into. He suffered and he preached to the earth. And yet, you know, years and years and years of a man's labor can be torn down in just a short while.
That's right.
You let somebody come in that knows how to speak and how to move and how to sway people. And it won't be no time before folks will be off in a tangent. Won't take no time at all. And that's true. You know why that's true? Because of us. That's why Paul says, you know, he said, I told the Corinthians, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy because I presented you to as a chaste virgin to Christ. And here Satan with his subtlety has beguiled Eve. He'll beguile you from the simplicity, the singularity that's in Christ.
Amen.
And he said, and these folks, they want an occasion to glory. He said, I'll give them an occasion to glory. I'll tell you what they are. They're not like us. They're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the ministers of Christ. And no marvel, for angel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So, oh my, in just a little while, because of this awful nature of ours, somebody can come in and just with a powerful personality, with some charisma, and come in and sway folks and turn them here, yonder, and about. And that's why God help us to always, always know the Scriptures. Always understand what the Gospel is. And if anybody brings anything besides Christ, Christ in Him crucified, Christ in His righteousness, Christ is in eternality, Christ in His Godhead, do not accept that gospel. Don't do it. And I tell you, false teachers had come in here and led these Galatians into a grave error, and Paul seeks to save them from it, save them from a perverted gospel. And he says in verse 6, I marvel. Now remember over there he says, no marvel. It's no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's no great marvel. That's just no marvel. But here, he said, I am marvel. I stand in absolute astonishment, filled with great surprise, filled with sorrow, that you are, now watch this, so soon. Paul went in there and established this church, and then so soon, you're removed, now watch this, from him. Oh my, removed from him that called you. What to be called of God. That's why Peter says make your calling and election sure. Paul, when he talked about calling, he says this, for you see your calling, brethren. This is one way we know we're one of God's elect. We know we've been called by the gospel. For you see your calling, brethren. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God chose the foolish, preaching, men, sinners, chose the foolish to confound the wise and the weak. Nobody's to confound the mighty. And the reason he did this, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Amen.
And unto you that are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you. Who called him? God called him. And they were called of Christ. Called by the Holy Spirit. And Paul was the instrument by which they were called through the gospel. You know how God's going to call you? Call me? Somebody comes with the gospel. And he calls you to Christ. Calls you to God in Christ. And the Holy Spirit makes Christ known to you. Look what Paul said there in verse 15 about his own calling. Here, verse 15 of chapter 1. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me. I was 30 years old before he ever called me. That's what he said. I was a persecutor, a blasphemer, injurious. And then he called me. I was always separated from my mother's womb. God knew me. I was going to be an apostle. God's going to make me a child of God. But I didn't know that till he... When did he call you? On the Damascus Road. How did he call you? Struck me down. Blinded me as a bat. That's how he called him. If he ever called you like that, if he calls you like that, as remember Brother Clay, during our meeting, he preached on the blessing of blindness. Nobody wants to be blind, but oh, our Lord Jesus said, they that are blind, I've come that they that are blind might receive their sight. And the Pharisee said, are we blind also? And our Lord said, if you were, you would have no sin. But since you say, I see, you'll die in your sin. Oh my, God only gives sight to the blind. He blinds you in order to give you sight. Oh, for whom he did foreknow, them he also called. And oh, Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you. To be removed from the purity, to be removed from the simplicity of the gospel. No wonder he marveled. No wonder he stood in astonishment. And oh my, when they were removing themselves from Christ, removing themselves from God and the Holy Spirit and the gospel, from Christ and from Paul, they were removing them everything from high and holy and pure and glorious. And Paul said he travailed in birth for them and would travail again. But oh, they were removed, and they were doing, being removed. What they were saying was that they were sliding the mercy and grace and kindness of God and Christ and even an apostle who came and gave so much to preach the gospel to them. Suffered to preach the gospel to them. And then he says, here I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you. And what called you to what? Into the grace of Christ. Called into the grace of Christ. Made accepted in the Beloved. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ came because of grace. It was the grace and love of God born in His heart that gave us Christ. It's grace of Christ that saves His people. And it's grace that He teaches them of grace, and He calls them by grace, and He calls them into grace. And it's not only grace, but the grace of Christ. Amen. To be into the grace that's in Christ. To be immersed in it, to be called into it, to enjoy it and rejoice in it and find comfort and assurance in it. He says, I marvel that you could be removed from this grace that's in Christ. Called into grace to be removed from that, what could you possibly be removed to that would be any better than that? Be more glorious than that. Be freer than that. Be more powerful than that. And then he says to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Oh, he said, I marvel. I'm amazed. I'm shocked. I'm troubled. That you removed from Christ, Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, what's what He says about this other gospel? What's what He says? Which is not another. What He's saying is there's not another gospel. There's no, only one gospel. Always has been but one gospel. And I make no bones about it. I say wherever I go and whatever congregation I'm listening to, there's none of that, this business here of getting saved under Arminianism, getting saved under free willism, getting saved under a lie, and then just growing into a deeper knowledge and a strong. That's nothing to that. There ain't but been one gospel. And I know from my own experience that until I heard that gospel and knew that gospel, that it was Christ alone, what Christ did, what Christ accomplished, not what I did, not what I was going to do, not what I was going to accomplish, not a decision I made, not an aisle I walked, not a prayer I prayed, not a tear I shed, had anything to do with my salvation. I had to think, I had to die to count it all done. Garbage. And that's why there's not another gospel. What Paul said unto another gospel is that really there's not another gospel. There's no other good news other than the good news that's in Christ.
Amen.
Huh? Which is not another, but watch this. But there should be some that trouble you. Would trouble you. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. What do you think when you think of a pervert? Paul says that's what these fellows are. They're perverts. They pervert the gospel. You know what a pervert does? Or to pervert something is, means? That's one gospel, not another. Some would pervert it. To pervert it means to transform into something of an opposite character. Take something like the gospel, a free grace in Christ, a salvation accomplished by Christ, an eternal redemption obtained by Christ, a righteousness given to us by Christ, and transform that into something altogether different. The opposite of what grace is. Huh? You taking Christ and transforming Him into Moses? Taking Christ and transforming Him into a minister of sin? Taking Christ and transforming Him into something that you need besides Him? It's like saying the sun is turned into darkness. That's transforming something that gives light all the time, and all of a sudden it's transformed into something else altogether. Opposite character. And that's what they do. They take the gospel and make it exactly opposite of what it is. And he says, there be some that trouble you. Look over here in Galatians 5. And oh my, what a perversion of the gospels they are today. Oh, what perversions of it. What awful perversions of the gospel. Christ's blood is not sufficient to put away your sin unless you mix your faith with it. Christ's blood is not sufficient to satisfy God. You got to do something yourself to add to Christ by repentance or faith or walking an aisle or making a decision before Christ's death will be effectual for you, before His satisfaction will be effectual before God. When Christ redeemed His people 2,000 years ago on the cross, and He redeemed them on purpose because God sent Him forth as a propitiation.
Amen.
And oh, look here in Galatians 5:10. There be some that trouble you. I have confidence in you, Galatians 5:10, through the Lord, that He will be none otherwise minded, that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Paul said, they're troubling you, bringing you this perversion of the gospel. They're troubling you. They're troubling you. They're troubling the gospel. They trouble your soul. They trouble your relationship with God. Let me show you something. Galatians 15:24. Look here with me. You think this ain't serious business? And oh, Acts 15:24. I did say 1 Corinthians. I'm glad you all caught me. Acts 15:24. For as much as we have heard, the certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. No such commandment. None whatsoever to give that kind of a commandment. And that's what he said. There's people who come in and trouble you. And it is troubling. Once you know the gospel and you see somebody else come in with it and they pervert it and they transform its character and they change it into a character that's not even close to the Scriptures, not even close to what the Scriptures tell about it, and they present a Christ that's not even close to the Christ of the Bible. And you know, I'll tell you something, back over in our text, false teachers don't come into a congregation with a placard hanging around their neck saying, I'm a false teacher. They don't come in like that. That's not the way they present. They don't come in with a big sign saying, I'm here to tell you a lie. I'm here to pervert the gospel for you. I'm here to trouble you. I'm here to change your mind about some things about Christ. They don't come in like that. You don't come in and say, I'm false. I'm a liar. No, no. The devil doesn't come as a devil. He'd be easily recognized if he did. Ain't that right? Old John Martin Luther called him black devil and white devil. Black devil sins and white devil sins. It's the white devil that goes to church. It's the black devils out in the world. The black devil, he causes people to commit murder and adultery and all kinds of things and gives them the power to excuse and justify what they do. But the white devil, he comes as an angel. As an angel of light. He comes and tells you, oh, God loves you, you know that? And I do too. And he'll come in and start telling you about, boy, you know, you folks got some good things about you, some good qualities about you. And God recognizes them good qualities about you. Next thing you know, he got you feeling real, real good about yourself. And then he'll start talking about, you know, Christ really, really saved you. And he has really saved you, but you know what we need to do is we got to come under the law and have the law as a believer's rule of life so we'll be able to control ourselves and control our flesh and keep ourselves under subjection. The first thing he lies about when he tells you to do something. We can't do anything. If we can do anything to bring ourselves under subjection, Christ is dead in vain. If we can do anything to put one sin away by the deeds of the flesh, Christ is dead in vain. And there are, as human beings, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's many, many things, many wonderful qualities you got. Many wonderful qualities you got. I was talking to Dale Simpson today and he told me to tell you all how much he loved you, how much he appreciated you, how gracious you were, how you made everybody so welcome and you have got some wonder, but when it comes to the gospel and before Christ, we don't have anything. But now to one another, we got great love and great. We come in one another in wonderful ways. But not when it comes to this gospel. We have nothing to commend ourselves to God. Lots to commend ourselves to one another, but nothing to commend ourselves to God. Now ain't that right? You understand that? There's a big difference in that. Me alone. Old Martin Luther says this. See, he comes along and says, Christ is a good workman. Oh my, oh, he's a good workman. He does a good job. He's began a building, but he's unable to finish it. And you got to have Moses to help you finish it. Oh. And I'll tell you this much. He said, if he can't hurt by persecuting and destroying you, he'll come under the guise of, well, you all just need a little correcting. You need to be more established. I need to take you a little deeper in the Word. I need to show you another aspect of the gospel. He comes with that kind of stuff. And that's what he says here, pervert the gospel. Those who mingle law and the gospel, they're perverters of the gospel. You can't mix them. Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness. Righteousness, end of it, the goal of it, the fulfillment of it. When you get to the end of something, you can't go. You be going down a road and you'll come to something and say, now, if you turn in here, it's a dead end. Now, if you go in there, you're going to have to back out or find some way to turn around to get back because you went as far as you can go. And that's what the gospel tells us of Christ. He goes and he went as far as the law could go and he ended it.
Amen.
He put an end to it as a covenant. He put the end of it as a curse. He put the end of it as something that's condemning power. And beloved, I've got to the end and I can't go no farther and I don't want to go no farther. I've got Christ and His righteousness. And I didn't get Him by the law or by works or anything else, but by faith. And I'll tell you, when it comes to the law and the gospel, perverting it, either Christ must remain and the law must perish, or the law remain and Christ must perish. Grace and works do not mix. For cause Christ and the law can by no means agree and reign together in the conscience. Can't do it. Christ and the law cannot agree and reign in the same conscience. Can't do it. Either law is going to reign and you're going to be condemned all the time, or grace is going to reign and Christ is going to reign, and you're not going to be condemned. You're free from guilt. They don't dwell together in the same house. And Paul said here in verse 7, he says, which is not another. They pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, what you'll end up finding out, that it's no gospel at all. There's not another. There can't be another. There ain't but one gospel. Cannot be another gospel. Sins are only removed by Christ. Satisfaction's only made by Christ. Justification's only made by Christ. Righteousness is only given to us by Christ. And to turn from that to what? To justification by works? Justification by law? Justification by flesh? Oh, to turn from that. And then look what he says. He has such confidence in his gospel that he preached. He makes this statement. But though we, me, Timothy, Titus, Silas, anybody that's a brother of mine that come with me, but though we, or an angel from heaven, if God sent an angel down here, and if he could preach, do you reckon he would preach a lie? And he says, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've already preached unto you.
Yes, sir.
We preach one gospel. Ain't that what he says over here in Galatians 3? Look in Galatians 3 with me just a moment. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? That means set forth in the gospel, set forth in the preaching of Christ crucified. And I only want to learn this of you. Tell me this, answer this question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Huh? Did you go back under the law and become circumcised and go keep the law as a rule of life? Is that how you received the Spirit? Or when somebody's preaching the gospel to you, when I came preach the gospel, did the Spirit of God come to you when you was listening? And so he had such confidence in this, he said, if anybody comes from preaches another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. Let him be cursed. And then he says, I'm going to emphasize this. I want you to get it. As we said before, so say I now again. If anybody anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, preaches any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Oh my, what is it to be accursed? Let me show you in Acts 15:10. Let me show you something here. Acts 15:10. You think to be accursed of God, what an awful thing to think to be accursed of God. And you know how many people is going to be accursed of God? Do you have any idea how many people is going to be accursed of God? That uses the name of Jesus? That reads from a Bible? That preaches? Now here's Simon Peter when they're debating and arguing over and making the decision over whether Moses, they told him in verse 1 here, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, they come to Jerusalem to debate this question. And now Peter says this in verse 10. And when he says, when you bring Moses into this situation, you bring circumcision into this situation, you bring the commandments of Moses into this situation, therefore, why tempt ye God?
Yes, sir.
You bring Moses, you bring law, you bring circumcision, and you're tempting God Himself. Huh? You imagine tempting God? You know, Christ was up on that pinnacle. Satan said, cast yourself down. He said, he gave his angels charge over thee that he'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I've got the promise of God. Yeah, He'll catch me. There ain't no danger, you heard. But I ain't going to tempt God. And what He said, and that's jumping off the pinnacle. But He said, here, you just preach. When you bring anything besides Christ and His grace, you're tempting God Almighty. And you know what happened to people in the Old Testament when they tempted God, provoked Him? He killed 23. I read today, He killed 23,000 one day. And you know what He killed them over? He sent 12 spies down into Canaan. He said, go down there and spy out the land. See how big the people are, how good the land lays, where the best water's at, whether they lived in fences or whether they were in tents or whether they lived in walled cities. See how the fruit grows and how the corn grows and all that. They went down there and they come back. And oh my, when they got down to Eshcol, they cut down grapes and they had to put them on a pole and carry them back. Well, they got back up there. Two fellas said, let's go down there. Jacob and Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. It's ours. God will go with us. Them other ten said, oh, no. No, there's giants down there. Oh, we're just grasshoppers in their sight. And all those folks start wailing, why did you leave us in Egypt? Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? God said, Moses, get out of my way. I'm fixing to kill a whole bunch of them. They've murmured against me one last time. And to bring in Christ, that's exactly what's happening here. You're saying, God, Christ is not sufficient. His blood's not sufficient. His death is not sufficient. His righteousness is not sufficient. His person is not sufficient. That's what they're saying. And you imagine tempting God. Huh? And then let me show you this quickly, 1 Timothy, about being accursed of God. This is scary. I wouldn't, for God to... 1 Timothy 1:18, look what he says here now. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away faith and a good conscience, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Of who is Hymenaeus and Alexander, watch this, whom I have delivered unto Satan. What God said, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, I delivered him unto Satan. And why did he do that for? That he'll learn not to blaspheme. He'll learn to control his tongue. How would you like for an apostle to say? If any man comes with any other message other than an eternal, full, free, complete salvation in Christ, by Christ, let him be accursed. Our Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You for the truth as it is in Christ. Thank You for this salvation. Oh, so provided, so full. No wonder the apostle called it such a great salvation, so great a salvation, so great a deliverance, so powerful that Christ gave Himself for us to save us from this present world right now in His dominion and His power. Saved us from our sins. We bless You and thank You in Christ's name. Amen.